Did you ever realize that you never understood the connection? We have two parshas which are always combined together, Achrei Mois and Kedoshim. Achrei Mois is primarily talking about the avoidas in the Beis Hamikdash on Yom Kippur and the dinim of Yom Kippur, and then Arayas. And then we have Kedoshim, which is talking about primarily Beranam L'Chaveroi, Kedusha, and then Arayas at the end. Why are these two parshas always grouped together? What do they have to do with one another? When you start out Achrei Mois, which is what we'll have to understand, it starts out with something very, very strange. We have Yom Kippur, the Avoida in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Avoida, the work, the service in the Holy of Holies, the highest place, at the highest time, with the highest person. And how do we start that out? How does Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu to dictate this to his brother Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, who's going to be there? He doesn't start out explaining him the greatness. He doesn't start out explaining him the details, explaining him what he's doing for Klal Yisrael. He starts out about his two lost sons. Achrei Mois, Shnei, the two sons of Bnei Aaron. After their death, Moshe Rabbeinu comes and tells Aaron HaKohen about the avoid in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Kodesh Kedashim, the thing which will save Klal Yisrael year to year. And the question is, what's going on? What's going on over here? What does their death have to do with anything? How is it relevant to what Aaron's going to do? The words of the Pesukim are, Achrei Mois Shnei Bnei Aaron, Bikarvasim Bnei Hashem Vayimusu. So in their kirva to Hashem, in their closeness, that which they came before him, and they died. So he stressed that they're the sons who died, and they died. What's the double stress in the pasuk? All the Mefarshim ask, what are we trying to get to? And it's especially strange, if you look at Rashi, he explains with a mashal, why does Moshe Rabbeinu need to tell Aaron about his sons? Because they had a certain sin. That sin caused them to die. According to some of Mefarshim, they were actually in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. According to the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bechaya, they were not, but they did that avodah. And they passed away due to their service to Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Aaron, be careful not to do what they did. Do things right. And Rashi brings a mashal. He says, imagine you have a doctor. And that doctor tells somebody, yeah, you're leading a very unhealthy life. You are severely obese. And you're smoking copious amounts. It's unhealthy. You could die. So that would jar a person somewhat. Now imagine the doctor takes out a page and he says, you see this picture of the lungs? This is your neighbor's lungs. He passed away from the heavy smoking. The person's going to be a lot more shocked, says Rashi, that if you bring a real live example that's known to the person, and he's going to take the doctor's words much more seriously. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu told Aaron, or Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Aaron, that look at your sons who passed away and you shouldn't be like them. You shouldn't fall into their mistake. And it will be more real to Aaron. And then Aaron won't do the sin in the way that they did the sin. And he won't make the mistake in the Kodesh Kedashim. This seems beautiful, but what's going on? How do we understand such a thing? Aaron HaKohen is going to make a mistake. So we should tell him, okay, don't do this, it's usher. What do we need to bring out a real live example of a very painful thing that he went through? He wouldn't understand otherwise. We need to make it visceral to Aaron HaKohen, one of the greatest people who ever lived. How could it be that there's a practical thing that we're telling Aaron that his sons did, that he's going to make that mistake? If you look into his son's mistake, Chazal bring down 12 reasons. One of them, and the starting one, was they were at Har Sinai and they were Sameach, they were Ochel V'Shasa, they ate and drank when they saw Hashem. That was some level of chait. Says they paskid halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Says they weren't married. Reason after reason. Aaron's going to do 12 mistakes? Aaron's going to make 12 mistakes? We have to warn him, oh, don't be like your sons. We couldn't have just told him, do X, Y, Z, and that, right? That, like the doctors say, follow these instructions. No, it has to be with a real, practical, visceral, live example. Your sons passed away. Don't make their mistakes. So if we were all Aaron, you put yourself in the shoes. I shouldn't make my sons' mistakes. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, I'm not going to do any of those things. It's a plea atzuma that Moshe Rabbeinu's warning has to be real, visceral, in a practical way, that Aaron shouldn't come to Chas V'Shalom go and make the mistakes his sons did. His sons made a seemingly very, very large amount of mistakes, which led up to their death. It wasn't just one singular thing. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's warning? Why did it need to be so real? Seemingly, it was unneeded at all. If we would look at the story, we wouldn't need to say anything to Aaron. First of all, it would pain him. Seemingly, we would go and put him in pain, sorrow, and challenge, difficulty. It's his sons. And second of all, it's unnecessary because he's never going to fall to that. What in the world is going on? How do we understand this Rashi? And specifically, if we look at the Lashon of the Pasuk, it says, "Bikarvasim v'nei Hashem," that which they came close to Hashem. What is exactly the Torah trying to stress? If you look at the Pesukim earlier, we look at who these people were. Aron Moshe Aaron, hu asher diber Hashem limor, bikrovi akadesh. He says, with my holy ones, bikrovi, with ones who are close to me, I have become sanctified. V'apnei chol ha'am ekaved, in front of everybody, I have become honored. And Rashi says over there, b'mechubadai, with the ones who are honored to me. So these are extremely great people. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi brings there, says, now I know that they are greater than us. These two people, none of you, were greater than us. They didn't just make some simple mistake that we could all have made. They were so high, holy, and uplifted. They were beyond. They were greater than us, as Moshe Rabbeinu. These are the people we're dealing with. So to Aaron's two great, lost, high, uplifted, holy sons, we need to say, don't be like them. They were unbelievable people. He should be like them. Tell Aaron he can't do whatever he could do in the Kodesh Kedashim. Tell him he needs to do the Avodah in the right way. But stress to him, your son, the people to look after. Moshe says they were greater than us. What is the Nakuda, the point that we're trying to flesh out over here with Aaron HaKohen and his sons? Their greatness? What was their mistake? Why are we telling them not to do it? Why don't we bring that with a mushel? It seems to be plea upon plea upon plea. And then right after that, right after these psukim, it starts talking about the Big Day Kahuna, what Aaron has to wear. What is that stress in the Torah, in the Big Day Kahuna? What's the Torah trying to bring out to us? If you go in the psukim over here, they read, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Aaron that you should not come all the time, right? So if I tell you, you shouldn't come somewhere all the time, it's not an open door policy. Rather, I would say, you should come at this time. Come at 2 o'clock. Come on Sundays. Come at 8 p.m., 8 a.m., breakfast time, lunchtime. Describe to a time. If I tell you, don't come all the time. But I would say, come at this time. But you look at the next pasuk, and it says, Bazois yav Aaron ela kodesh. Befarim rakar, lachatas va'ayel lo'oil. You should come with this, and talks about the kabbonis, and the avoid this, and the clothing. Why are we not talking about a time? Aaron HaKohen, don't come at all time. Come with this. That's not a corresponding statement. How do we understand the words of the Torah that they're saying, don't come at all times, and then doesn't respond with time? What is the answer or the directions that Aaron's giving, that Aaron's getting from Moshe Rabbeinu? And if you look at the Avodah in the Kodesh Kedashim, what do we start out with? The first thing for everything, for all the hazayas, for all the sprinkling of the dam, which are extremely chashiv, is the ketores. Now, we've spoken about in the past how the ketores is merumas in the neshama, as the Sefer HaYikarim says, the Rambam, the Rama. And the Gemara says, though, that the ketores is coming to be mechaper, atone, wipe away the sin of Lashon Hara, evil speech. Why are we starting with evil speech? There's so many averus, so many bad things that people do. b'shaygi, b'mezid. And the thing that we come with, when Aaron HaKohen in the one day of the year, the Kohen Gadol goes in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they tie a string around his leg. So when, if Chas Hashem has a machshava zara, a foreign thought, they can pull him out because they can't go in there. What's the first thing that he talks about? Lashon Hara? Why is that so critical, so key to this day? Why is that the thing which we latch onto when we come to Mechaber for Klai Yisrael? What do we start with? Evil speech. How is it so critical to the day of Yom Kippur? What are we trying to accomplish? What's it being done by Aaron, by the Kohen Gadol, with this avodah? If you go further on in the Psukim, we mentioned that here we're discussing Arias. We have the avodah of Yom Kippur, which some seems to be tied to the two sons of Aaron, and that seems to be tied to his avodah. And then we move through a few things, and we get to the sin of Arias. Arias is very bad, horrible. It's one of the distinctions between us and other nations. Why is that so tied fundamentally to Yom Kippur? It's one of the things that we lean on Yom Kippur, in fact. How is that so key, critical, and the focus that we lean it and bring it into the parsha of the highest level of avodas, the Se'er Mishtaleach, where we get rid of all our sins, then we go into Arias. Obviously, we're being misasik in the highest level of things. I'm not going to be involved in Arias. People who get involved in Arias, it's always a slippery slope. It's always that I start here, and then Chas V'Shalom, you do another step, another step, another step. The Or Chaim, this week's parsha, has an arichus to describe how the whole step where a person falls, that first falling step, is when he starts looking places he shouldn't. There's so many things in the world for us to look at, and so many things we can't look at. And when do we start falling in Avodah Zarah, in Arias? When we start looking in the wrong place. Your Midrash tells us that it says the Einayim, the eyes, are the Pesach to the heart. If you look at something, then you're machmeh, then you go after it. A person can protect their mind all they want, but if they are not careful with their eyes, where they look, where they go, what they see, then they're going to chas v'shalom fall in different levels to Arias. We all have to have the proper protections, whether it's in the place that we go, whether it's the filters on our phones and computers. We all have to know that we're always in a battlefield, as Msil Sharm says. And that battlefield is always a tough battlefield with things going off around us all the time. We have to be so careful of that. It's so challenging. That's what Or HaChaim says, we have to protect our eyes. So that's what we get to the parsha of our eyes. But in Yom Kippur, we're in the Kittel. We're in the highest level of Avodas. The Kohen Gadol is going to Kodesh Kedoshim. This is what we talk about. And similarly, we move on to Parsha Kedoshim. Parsha Kedoshim is Kedoshim to you. Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem. You should be holy because I am holy. You should be uplifted because I am lifted. You should not be mundane because I am not mundane. How do we understand this? All the Mefarshim ask, what is Hashem's Kedusha, which is so beyond this world, something that we really can't fathom, have to do with our holiness, our uplifted state, our separation from the mundane? What's the connection in the pasuk itself? It's a pasuk. We're not dealing with some far-off chazal. It's a straight read in the pasuk. The chazals get even more complicated. It's a straight read in the pasuk. Because I'm holy, you shall be holy. What does the chazal tell us? You should mekadesh atzmoy b'mutrlach. You should sanctify yourself, as the Gemara in Yevamah says in Daf Chaf, with that which is permitted to you. That's Kedoshim to you. Because I am holy. Sanctify yourself with something which is permitted to you, which we'll have to understand what that means. Because I am holy. What's the connection between these two things? And if you go further on, in the Parsha, what do we move into? We move into many, many laws dealing with my relationship between me and my friend, man and his fellow, Jew and the Jew. What does Kedoshim to you have to do with a whole set of very complex, detailed, difficult laws of Bin Adam L'Chaveroi And we reach the pinnacle in this week's parsha, Yud Ches Yotes, Ve'ahavta L'Reacha Kamecha. Love your fellow, love your friend like yourself. How does that have to do with Kedusha? Generally, when we think of Kedusha, we think of someone who's high. He's uplifted. He's above the world, similar to us on Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah. There's a similarity between the Kedusha and Yom Kippur. It says that why do we all wear kittels? Because on that day, we're like malachim, kimalachei asharis, that are above this world. What does that have to do with the regular laws between you and your friend when you're selling your friend something and the weights and caring about him and being mechabed him? I'm completely uplifted. I'm in my shmoneser. I'm in ne'ilah. I'm not with anybody. I'm with me and the Boyer Olam. The Lubavitcher Rebbe famously explains that it says ne'ilah is the time when the gates close. And that generally is understood that your tefillos don't have that ability to get in anymore, all the way up to the highest worlds. They don't have the path. The doors are closed. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says, the doors do not close in front of you. During Ne'ilah, the doors are closing behind you. It's just you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You and the Bar Olam. You and your Avinu Shebashamayim. So that's Ne'ilah, where you are closed in with the Bar Olam. You're in a private, set aside, once a year meeting with Hashem. And that's beautiful. What does it have to do with anything that we're talking about? We're talking Kedushim to you, and that we could think is Yom Kippur. Why are we putting Kedusha, these high levels of being uplifted, with Bidan L'Chaver? What's the connection? And then again, just like in Parashas Acharei Mos, after we talk about all in Yom Kippur, we move on to the Parsha of Arayah. Similarly, in Kedushim, we move on from Kedusha to Ben Amachaveh, then to Arayah. What's the connection over here? We as well then have another question, which is in Acharei Mos, in the beginning. The Baal Turim brings is Acharei Mos Shnei. He says Acharei Mos Shnei is the gematria of Para Aduma, the red heifer, the cow which we use to purify someone from Tumas Meis. What does that have to do with Yom Kippur? What does it have to do with Arons of Vayit and the Kodesh Kedashim? And similarly, we find that the Baal Turim brings, as Baron Rashi, it's the Midrash, that the gematria of Bazois, which is Aaron, you should not enter into the basement, which Ela Bazois, only with this, which we asked is not, it's not a time. Don't enter Bechol Eis, Bazois, enter with this. The gematria of Bazois is 410. The amount of years that the Beis HaMikdash stood, the Bayis Rishon. Why is that relevant to Aaron's specific avoida in the Kodesh Kedashim Yom Kippur? Why are we talking about that now? The Bayis Rishon specifically, not the Bayis Sheni, the Bayis Rishon. What's the connection that Chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in these numbers, this numerical value, this count, 410, has to be in Bazois. That's how you enter in to the Kodesh Kedashim, with the Bayis Rishon. What's the specification within Chazal? And lastly, when we come to the Parsha of Kedoshim Tiyu, it says, El Kol Hadas Bnei Yisrael. You stay over this Parsha to the whole entire congregation. What is that referring to? Rashi tells us, Mitzvahs Hakel, the mitzvah to bring everyone up, Nashim V'taf, the women and the children, the babies, on their shoulders, up to Yerushalayim to hear from the king, from the Sefer Torah, this Parsha. So many ask, why are we talking about the Parsha of Kedusha to the whole nation? Kedusha, like we said, is high up, holy, uplifted, beyond. Why is that what's being given over to the nation? So we have a whole variety of questions here. Everyone buckle in. We're going to try and bring it all together and come out with something practical, something real, something down to earth for ourselves. There's a story with Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein was, as we know, one of the greatest people in the past many hundred years. He changed the face of America. The halachic psakim all went to him. One of the greatest Rosh Hashivas. One of the busiest people we could possibly imagine. So one day, in the Feinstein home, there's a knock at the door. They open the door. They see a poor lady there. And they say, "What can we do for you?" She says, "Is Rabbi Feinstein home?" They say, he's quite busy, actually. He's answering questions. He's meeting with somebody. He's backed up for a while. She says, "Well, when will he be available?" They say, not for some time. And they ask her, "Well, can we help you? What can we do for you?" And she says, "You can help me. I have this letter from my sister." So they say, "Well, okay, that's very nice. You have a letter from your sister. What does that have to do with Rabbi Feinstein?" She says, "Well, it's in Russian. And Rabbi Feinstein speaks Russian. I want him to translate it for me." So they bring her in. They sit her down. They offer her some coffee, some cake, some tea. And they say, we understand that you would like to understand the letter from your sister, but Rabbi Feinstein is one of the busiest people in the entire world. One of the people with the most responsibility. One of the people who is expanding himself, extending himself more than humanly possible. We don't think it's so appropriate necessarily to use his time translating a small letter." She looked at them, puzzled, flabbergasted, completely bewildered. And she says, "But Rabbi Feinstein has been translating my letters for 20 years. And everyone's shocked. She had been going to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein to translate her letters for 20 years. This was a person who lived on the highest heights, from his svarim to his tshuvas and halacha. He was a person that was expanded beyond the physical realms on so many levels. And what would he spend his time doing? Besides all the glorious things of being Rosh Hashiva and passing shilos, he would go to the lowest places, to the simplest people, to the simplest tasks, which is translating a Yid's letters. But translating a Yid's letter to Rav Moshe Feinstein was translating Hashem's Ratzon, Hashem's code, his desire, into the practicality of this world. Into every facet, aspect, and little nook and cranny of reality. He was Mekadesh. He uplifted everything. No task was too small or too big for someone like Rav Moshe Feinstein. Kidoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem mekadosh atzmi b'mutalach. Be holy because I am holy. Mekadosh atzmi b'mutalach. Uplift yourself, sanctify yourself with that which is permitted. What does that mean? Ki kadosh ani Hashem, because I, Hashem, am holy. Hashem pervades, exists, and takes up every space of reality. From the chair that you sit on, to the table where your hands are, to the air that we breathe. Hashem is in every aspect of it. Malei chala'aretz kivodei. Less asar panimine, as the Zohar says. Hashem exists in everything. You should be holy because I am holy. Every aspect of the world has a relevance, has a potential, has the ability to be uplifted. Hashem says you must go in the world and look at every single solitary object, item, and task, and say, I can make this holy. I can uplift it to the highest heights. Nothing is out of my reach as a Jew. Hashem says, just like I am holy, I'm the most uplifted, and yet I exist in the smallest things. You as well can find the Kedusha, find the sparks, find the Nitzaitzis in every single item to make it shaykh, relevant, and connected to the spiritual worlds. And that goes from drinking a coffee with the intentions that I want to uplift the world, that I want to now go and learn Torah, I want to be a better person, to when you go to sleep at night, to make sure you're koiches for the next day, to make sure you're for davening on time, to buying clothes for yontif. And not just so you should look nice, so you should have clothes for the holy day. Every single mundane action can become uplifted to the highest heights. What does that have to do with our parsha of caring about other people? You may want to think that holy people are above and beyond this world, are uplifted past everyone else. And in Yiddishkeit, it is the polar opposite. The most high, holy, and uplifted people are the people who deal with everything from the smallest thing to the biggest thing, from the minute to the great. That's what Kedusha is. There is nothing that's beyond me. Ki kadosh ani Hashem, I am Hashem, I pervade all of reality. You must as well exist in all the great things and all the small things. That is what Kedusha is. Holiness is being connected, plugged into all aspects of reality, all aspects of the physical world, and all aspects of the Jewish people. To the Russian lady's letter. And you find in history, in all the greatest gedolim, in the highest, holiest people, what were they doing? What did Moshe and Aaron do? Moshe was non-stopping misasek in the klal, in helping people. Aaron HaKohen was going to people and to people's wives, to the husbands, and saying things to them to get them to be friends. It says he would go to the Rishayim to talk to them, to make them feel important, that how could I have done a chait? If Aaron knew someone did Nevera, what would Aaron HaKohen do? What would the gadol of all the gadolim, the greatest of the greats do? The Kohen of all Kohanim, the Kohen gadol? He would go and speak to the person who did the Nevera so they would feel important, so they would feel uplifted. Why is Aaron talking to me? Because I must be special. I must be something big. I am not little. And how could I do this sin which I had done? And then they would change. They would change their ways. And that's a lesson for all of us. Whenever we do a chait and we feel belittled, we have to know we're big. And we're beyond that. And therefore we can overcome anything. So what was Aaron doing? Focusing and having tactics about how he would figure out a way to make Shalom Bayis. How to figure out a way to uplift the low person. He was not sitting in the Olamos HaElyonim all the time. He was bringing the Olamos HaElyonim down to earth. And this is what we have to do. Ki kadosh ani Hashem, because Hashem is holy. We have to be holy. David HaMelech, what does the Gemara say? He would sit with women's miscarriages. When they had a miscarriage, there are different shilas when it's tame and when it's not. And that's a big difference in a woman's life and a couple's life. They have, if she's tame or not. And David HaMelech, who wrote to him, the highest of all holy heights. And he would sit defining, is it tame, is it not? His hands were with dam. They were with blood. Why? So he could help the people. What is the David HaMelech doing? He's a king. He's the biggest Talmud Chacham. He's the person who wrote Tehillim. He's the person who knew everything. Mashiach comes from you and you're sitting with shilias of women, with miscarriages of women, trying to attire them. That's what Kedusha is. There is no thing and no one that's beyond a Jewish person's reach. Kedusha is not being removed from everybody. It's taking the removed parts of reality, spirituality, and bringing it to every single yid. This is what we learn from these parshias. Kedoshim. 2. You love everyone like yourself and you understand that no one is beyond you. They are all one with you. That's the true Kedusha. That's the true holiness, because you live neshama dik, as the morale says. I live that you're a neshama and I'm a neshama, and we're connected. So there's nothing too low, not reading a letter in Russian for a lady, nor dealing with a lady when she needs to know if she's tar or tamid, your husband. These were the greatest people dealing with seemingly the lowest things, but the lowest things are really the highest things. We just have to switch our perspective. Nothing in Yiddishkeit, when it comes to helping another Yid, is too low. Nothing in the Jewish religion, when it comes to dealing with Hashem's children, is beyond us. Nothing that came from Har Sinai can create a distance between me and my brother. Because that's what we are. We are brothers. What is Parsis Achrimais? What does it have to do with the Bias Rishon? What does it do with the Paraduma, as we explained about Turim, brings those two gematrias in the first three psukim? And what does it do with Nadav and Aviyu? What's this big stress that don't do what they did, Aaron and Kohen, in the holiest place, in the holiest time, in the holiest person? Don't be like Nadav and Aviyu. The Meshech Chochmah explains that what was Nadav and Aviyu's chait? What was their sin? There was one yesod. There was one foundational point, one idea. And that's that they had such unbelievable, high and holy, lofty desires to connect to the Bar Olam, to be plugged in to the real existence, to the true reality, to peel away the mask and live in the ecstasy of spirituality. That's what Nadav and Aviyu wanted. But they wanted their own personal desire in it for them to connect. That's what they wanted. It's a beautiful, high and holy ratzon. And that's why Hashem says, these are my mukhubadai. These are the ones who came close to me. And Moshe says, they are greater than us. But they are not bigger than us. What does that mean? They were greater, but they were not bigger. None of you were not bigger than Moshe Rabbeinu. They were not greater than him. They may have been bigger, Moshe Rabbeinu. So they weren't greater. Because when one expands themselves outside of themselves, you're bigger than yourself. None of you, again, were greater. They were not bigger. Because when you make yourself plugged into all of Klal Yisrael in the most absolute way in your actions, you expand yourself beyond yourself. You are mispatu, you are nullified to the Klal, but you do not lose yourself. You create a bigger you. That's what being a Jew is. What is a Kayin, explains the Meshech Chochmah? A Kayin is someone who has to have complete desires, thoughts, and actions to only be helping Klal Yisrael. Kayin is called Ish Chesed, says the Zayar, because his whole metzias is to serve for other people. So while Nadav and Aviyu had the highest levels of connection, which is why, how did they die? They died through a fire coming from the Kodesh Kedoshim, or the Ohel Moed, and burned them up inside. And Hashem says, these are my honored ones. But they weren't living the peak, the pinnacle, the highest point of what a Kohen has to be, and that's to be completely selfless. That is that you can't have any of your own ritzonos. You can't have any of your own desires, your own zich in that I want to connect to Hashem, that I want to be there for myself. And this is a very, very, very hard thing. I heard Rabbidinsky explain that when the Kohen Gadol is inside the Kodesh Kedoshim, he's with Hashem in the highest day, in the highest place, the highest person, the highest avoidus. The easiest thing to creep in is, I want to do this for me. Hashem, give me X. Help my children with X. He has to be completely selfless. And this is the warning that Moshe Rabbeinu says, that if a doctor warns one person with an example of a person viscerally versus just telling him something, Moshe Rabbeinu would say, your sons were lost because they had a certain small sense of self to connect to Hashem. Beautiful. But it's not what a Kohen is. It's not what you can be doing, Aaron. And that's why, before you go into Kodesh Kedoshim, you have to know, you have to be completely selfless. The Para Aduma, I heard this from Rav Dinsky Shlita as well, is a kapara for the Chet HaEgel? Because the Chet HaEgel was a breach in Achdus, as the Beis HaLevi says. The Parah Adumah, the Kohen has to be completely selfless. What does he go and do? He goes and he makes you pure. But what happens to him? He's left in the dust. He's impure. But he's not in the dust. Despite the fact he can't do the Avodah, he can't do the service at that point. He has to go mitar himself. He's going to be toast. Burnt toast, not French toast. Despite that, he's going to do it. He's going to do it with simcha, because that's the Avodah of a Kohen. Acharei Moshnei. Gematria Paraduma. To tell you, their hate was because they weren't 1,000% selfless. They had their own desires for connection. And then it says Bazois. The Gematria of Bazois is 410. Bias Rishon. The first Beis HaMikdash. That is what we have to get to. In the second Beis HaMikdash, they were doing great, but they had sinas chinam. They had separations between themselves and the Jews. But in the Bayis Rishon, they had Gilas Rashi V'Chazam. But they didn't have separation between themselves and the Jews. Says Moshe Rabbeinu Bazois, you have to go in with the koyach of the Bayis Rishon, with the koyach of pure achdus, oneness, togetherness, a completely conglomerate Jewish people. Where you are together. That is the whole avodah when you go into the Kodesh Kedashim. What is done first there? The Ketores. Which is to mechaper for Lashon Hara. Because Lashon Hara explains the Mara. Creates divides. Creates separations. Creates distances. So when the Kohen Gadol goes in there, where he has to be completely selfless, take everything away of himself, he has to cut off any divides in the Jewish people. I am one with them and they are one with me. And this is the whole avodah of Yom Kippur. Why is Acharei Moshnei connected to Kedoshim? To the parsha where after Chamoicha is? To the parsha where we explain that Kedusha is being involved in everybody? Because the Ramak says, the Chidah, the Tur, the Saba Mikel, that the whole entire Kapara, atonement, forgiveness, which we achieve on Yom Kippur, can only come when we are one with the Jewish people. But it can only come when we're ba'achdus. What is the day of Yom Kippur? A day of achdus. Says the Kli Yakar, says the Ramban. It's the day where we got the Luch HaShnius, Kabbalah Sotera. The only way which we can get the Torah as Jewish people is Ki Ish Echad Belev Echad. When we are one people, with one heart, we're unified. So just like we had to have it by Luchos Rishonos, we had to have it by Luchos Shnius. And that's what happens on Yom Kippur. We have to live in Achdus. You want to get forgiven for your sins? You want to achieve atonement? You want to go up from your deep, dark, damp, difficult places? You must be ba'achdus. You must try and connect to those around you. We ask that, why does it say Arayas in this week's Parsha? In Kedoshim and Acharei Moshnei, both of them. What's the connection between Yom Kippur? What's the connection between Vavtei Chamoicha? There's two Yesoidus in Arayas. One foundational point of Arayas is that Eshes Ish, or your father's wife. Those things are Pegam and B'Adam L'Chadir. That's obvious. Obviously, you're ruining your friend's life, you're ruining the wife of your friend. But there's another Yisrael. It says that when a person would live with his sister, it would be called Chesed. Strange Lashon of the Torah. The Mefarshim all explained in different ways. If you look at the Malbim and Rav Dessler, they explain beautifully that Chesed is a Midah. But every Midah needs to be in the right measurements, in the correct weights. Yishmael, Avram's son, had chesed, but he took it too far. It says that 9/10 of znus came down and went to Yishmael. 9/10 of the world's koyach of znus went to Yishmael. Why? Explains many of the Sfarim of Dessler. Because Yishmael took Avram's chesed and he didn't have it in the appropriate measures. He didn't put it in its right place. He overextended it. So the Torah calls a person living with his sister chesed because it's him not having the appropriate midas. He's not putting his kindness in the right place. Whenever we give to anybody, it has to be in the right way. We have to know in the proper measurements, the proper midas, in the right fashion. I have to give to you for you, not to take from me. It has to be in the right measurement. I can't be selfish in my giving. I have to be selfless in my giving. May Rebbe of Aaron David Shlita, this week we were speaking about a certain Indian, and he said that when a person does chesed, it can't be because he's doing l'shem mitzvah. When he does kibbutz avim, he can't do it because it's a mitzvah. He has to do it to help his friend. He has to do it to help his father and mother. Rav Yaakov Weinberg, Zatzal, used to say, do not make your friend a lulav. Don't help your friend because it's a mitzvah. Help them, your friend, in order to help your friend. Rav Yaakov Weinberg was clear that I'm not helping you because there's a mitzvah from Hashem to do so. The mitzvah from Hashem is to help someone else because I care about them. That's the lashon of the pasuk. V'ahavta l'reicha kamecha. Love your fellow brother like yourself. And that means that has to come from an ahava. The Rishonim explain it with clear-cut gedarim, boundaries and definitions of what your actions are. But it's clear in the Chinuch and the Beis Halevi and many others that you have to have a feeling for your brother. And that's why Arayus is so critical in these parshios, because Yom Kippur, as we explained, is the day of the Kabbalah's Torah. It's the day where the Kohen Gadol has to be selfless. It's the day where we have to be connected to one another. We have to be like Malachi Asharis, where we're all one soul. We're all completely clean. I don't see anything bad in you, and Hashem won't see anything bad in me. And we learn from Arayus that you have to treat your friend in the right way. When I do chesed, it has to be in the right way. I can't do it for selfish reasons. I have to do it for selfless reasons. I have to care about you. If you watch any parent with their children, if there's a sick child, chas v'shalom, if there's a hurt child, chas v'shalom, the parents go to the end of the earth to help that child. There is no them anymore. Our goal is to understand we are one family. And when I give to someone else, I have to do it because I care. That's the lesson from Arayus in these week's parshiyos. You have to do chesed for the other person, has to be in the right way. You have to always be thinking, am I doing this in the right measurement? If Dessler explains that, you could say, oh, I have to help this guy. I have such a desire to help, 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 help. That could lead to Arayus chas v'shalom. Or I could say, I need to give you money. Oh, so I'll borrow from this guy and I can't pay it back and I'll give to you. Wow, what a tzaddik. I'm such a tzaddik. No! I have to do things in the right measurements. I have to do things, I'll be tired. I have to do things selflessly, not selfishly. Yeah, in the right measurements. That is the defining factor of Achdus, that I do it in the appropriate fashion. I do it with care. I do it with thought. I do it with appropriate boundaries. Don't just think that you can have Avos Klal Yisrael and then it can make you go crazy. There were people in history like that who unfortunately fell due to the Avos Klal Yisrael. Chas v'shalom. Could do Averis because of it. Says the Torah Chesed. You have to keep things in boundary. Otherwise, it's going to be an Arayus. It's going to destroy your relationship with Hashem and other Yidden ultimately. So what do we learn from this practically? This beautiful, long, extended Parshius describing to us the Achdus. Let's take an example in our own lives. And you can do it, I always say, in a larger scale where I look at community. A group of people. Something they do wrong. And that annoys me. That bothers me. And instead of looking at what they do wrong, look at what they do right. My Rebbe, Rebbe Shmuel Wiener Shlita, when I was telling him over one of these ideas, said to me, there's Ahav Yisrael, and then there's respecting another Jew. Like we find was the problem with Talmid Rebbe Kiva, the lo mechabed zeh. We have to work on honoring our fellow Jews. What is honor, explains Rav Volba. It's clear like this in the Ramak and many others. Targum Yonason. that honors, I appreciate your depth, the special parts of you, the things of you which are hidden, and I bring it out. Kavod Shemayim is where I bring Hashem into this world. Kavod of another Jew is where I look at his greatness, his special things, and I bring them out. So when I look at another group of Jews, and it's so easy to focus on the negative, to focus on what they do bad, to tack, 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 tack. Instead of that, look and say, wow, they are so special in X way. One small example is that you pass by in Eretz Yisrael, certain groups of people, and they scream Shabbos at cars. And they're all feeling, it's so wrong. And I'm not arguing with that. I don't think it's necessarily appropriate. I don't think it's accomplishing anything. I don't think it's going to really help many people. But why are they doing that? Because those Yidden live a life which is so far removed from the Western world which we all get trapped up in. So far removed from all the negative experiences, from all the tumah, they live a kaddish of kedushim life, a kedushim to you life, where they're really uplifted. And they're big bali chesed, all these people. They really help. They're really involved. They care. But when they see something that's against Shabbos, they feel like there's a breach in their walls. So either I can look at them and I can say, they don't mechalach properly. I can look at them and say, look at these people. My life is nowhere near as moved from Tumah as their lives. And that's something to appreciate. And you can do this for every group of Jews without doubt. Respect those Jews. Look at their special parts. Look at what's good about them. And then you can feel that ahava for them. That's one of the ways, as is clear in the Rambam, as a person comes to Ahavas Ishtai. You mechabed her, and that leads to the ahava. I respect somebody, I look at their insides, I look what's special about them, and I can love them even more. So now, for next time that you feel a negativity towards another group of Jews, next time that you want to go tack, 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 go check, check, check. Look what's special about that group. And if it's a specific person, look what's special about that person. There's no one in the world that you are going to look at that you can't find something positive about. And if you can't find something positive about him, then you got to look inside and see, why can't I find something positive about him? What's wrong with me? Like the Baal Shem Tov says, that a person's able to see the negoy chutz minigay atzmai. I can look at you and see your external bad things that are external for me. That's minigay atzmai. That's from my bad parts. It's from my parts which are dark and unworked on and need some light shown on them. So if you feel like you can't do it, look inside you why that's true. But I think everybody, it's not so hard to just go and look in a group of Jews and say, that's special about them. And if you feel that negativity creeping in, start speaking about the positivity. Start speaking about what's special about them. Start pushing away the darkness. And as the Baal HaTanya says, anytime that you have a darkness, a difficulty, a negative feeling, that's from the Yetzer Hara. So just know that you can be beyond that. You can be past it. You can grow above it. Be'ez Hashem, we shall all be zeiche. Take all the lessons from these parshiyos, the Yom Kippur, Kiddusha, Arayas, and V'haftar Yechamecha all come to one beautiful Yisrael. Learn how to give to your brother. Learn how to connect him. Learn how to be one with him. And then you're going to be a truly